And we count it a privilege to be named among those who can call on the name of the Lord, and to have that strong persona, that prayer is the key. And certainly things are changed when men and women of faith call on the name of the Lord. The Bible teaches us the very fervent, effectual prayers of righteous people yet availeth much. And so we stand fast on that particular scripture. Okay, my session, and I was looking at what I was asked to present for a few moments on this morning. Mine is a teaching that relates to stand fast, keep your ground, and contend earnestly for the faith. I repeat it again. Stand fast, keep your ground, contend earnestly for the faith. I would like to read a scripture that we will probably converse in conversation and dialogue this morning back and forth. I'm reading it from the Message Bible. If you're not familiar with the Message Bible, it is a contemporary Bible translation. It uses the language more modern to what we speak. So it's not like the King James or the New King James or the NIV. It's written by Eugene Peterson, and it's very contemporary. So you might be familiar with the particular scripture from the King James Version when Jude says we must earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I'm going to read that very same passage again from the Message Bible. It is very contemporary. It is Jude, and it's verses 20 and 21 from the book of Jude. This is what the Message Bible says. But you, dear friends, carefully build yourself up in this most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit, staying right at the center of God's love, keeping your arms open and outstretched, ready for the mercy of our Master Jesus Christ. This is the unending life, the real life. And that is what I'd like to speak from. Thanks so much to our media ministry for putting it on the screen. Thank you so much. So it starts off by saying, be careful or carefully build yourself up in this most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit and staying right at the center of God's love. So that is what I want to use as a basis for our conversation. I'm going to start off first by giving a definition of stand, because stand takes on so many different kinds of realities for us. But let me give you a couple of definitions that I feel will hold fast to what I've been asked to speak about. So when we talk about oh, by the way, I certainly enjoyed Pastor Obi with his faith. Didn't you enjoy him? I heard it. Very good. Okay, so let's take stand and let's frame it from this or these thoughts. So when we say stand, let's frame it from having situated yourself in a particular place or position. So situating yourself, rearranging, realigning yourself to a particular place or position. That's what we're going to use as one of our working definitions for stand. That we're going to situate ourselves, we're going to posture ourselves, we're going to position ourselves with a certain thought. Okay? And here's the last part of that. Stand for us is going to become an attitude toward a particular issue, a position taken in an argument. So if we're talking about faith, if we're talking about praying, what we're going to do is we're going to situate ourselves to a particular place, to a particular position. We're not going to waver in that position. We're not going to be wishy-washy in that situation, but we're going to be strong in that situation, and we're going to take an attitude toward a particular issue, and we're going to make it our argument. In other words, we're going to stand on scriptures that deal with standing in prayer and in faith. So the first one that comes to mind is the one in Ephesians. Stand therefore, and having done all what? To stand, what are we supposed to do? Stand. Okay, so get an attitude in your mind. Take the position that I'm standing on the every word of God. Every prophetic word, every preached word, every taught word. I'm going to take the position that I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to situate myself. I'm not going to move. And if anyone or even the enemy himself comes against me, I'm going to argue him out. That the word of God is good. The word of God is right. And the word of God is unfailing. That's your argument. Now, whether you see it right away, whether you feel it, whether you hear it, that's not standing. Standing is we've taken a place, we've taken a posture, we've taken a position, and we're going to stay there. We're going to stay there. Even if the enemy rushes in like a flood, what are we going to do? We're going to stand. We're going to stay there. Our attitude is God is the strongest power. He never fails. His word is true. Whatever he has spoken will come to pass. Because God is not a man that he can lie. That's our argument. So come on, devil, give it your best shot. Try to shake us. Try to make us not believe. But our attitude is, and we're going to argue you down. So that every time you come for us, every time you try to get us, we're just going to come up with another scripture, and we're going to stand. We may have to cry. We may be hurting. We may not understand it. But our posture is, God will answer prayer. That's it. Okay? So that's what it means to stand. That's what it means to stand, to be totally convinced that what God says, God can perform. He does not speak a thing that he has not already performed. We wait that to happen in the materialistic universe, but for God, it's already done. And we can hold fast to that because scripture tells us he knows the end. Oh, thank you. Y'all gonna help me. That he knows the end at the beginning. Therefore, all things work together. Y'all gonna help me with scripture? For what? I thought you knew that. To them that and are according to. You're good. So that's our stand. That's our posture. That's our position. And we argue that stand and posture and position through the word of God. Because that's what will not fail. The songwriter in the old hymn in the church says, Jesus, how sweet the name. Y'all know that old hymn, maybe? Jesus, every day the same. Heaven and earth will proclaim the holy name of Jesus. Kings and kingdoms will all. I thought somebody might know it. But his name will stand what? Forever. So we have the confidence in this. So we stand. And then we stand fast. So what do we mean when we say we stand fast? Let's give a working definition for stand. We got the stand right. It's an attitude toward a particular issue. It's our attitude. It's our faith. It's our position. It's our posture. It's our place. And we're going to argue that position, posture, and place through the word of God. Now what is fast? Here we go. Fast means firmly fixed or attached. That's why I have to give these definitions because you may think fast means just moving around real quick. No. Fast means firmly fixed or attached. Okay? So if I'm standing or I'm standing fast, then that means I'm firmly fixed and attached to that I'm standing on or with, firmly fixed. I got a tight grip. I got a strong hold. on what I'm standing on. And I'm attached to it, which means that everything that I am is attached to what I'm standing for. Okay? Now, let's add to that. So I'm standing so hard that I cannot be moved, and I am secure. So I'm firmly attached, I'm firmly fixed, and I'm standing so hard that I am secure. Okay? Now, this is very challenging for 21st century Christians, because everything in our world moves quickly and often without explanation. Things happen quick, fast. We live in a culture that wants things fast. That's why we have microwaves, because things happen fast. We have instant food, frozen food, you know, you just put in there 60 seconds, it's already done. Something is wrong with that, but anyway. You know, everything is fast. And our children, they move fast, you know. You tell them to sit down and read a book, they don't want to read a book. They have to watch the computer because it moves. Everything has to move fast, 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 fast. You know, because the culture, the world that they're living in is a fast-moving world. So if you slow down in this world, you get lost because they just zoom. Everything zoom, zoom, you know. You know, we don't even like to stop at red lights, you know. But, yeah, because our world is teaching us to move fast. And when you move fast like that, you know what? You don't have time to think. You make decisions, what? Too quickly. Why? Because you make them fast. You don't analyze the situation. You don't consider other areas or other answers. And so when we pray, guess what? We want God to do what? Come on, wake up. We want God to do what? We want him to move. Come on, hurry up, God. I've been praying over here for the last 7 days. Jesus. Tell the truth. We don't like to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. We don't like to do that. We want him to come in here, fix this right now. I told you about this last week. It's already been 7 days. 7 is your complete number. Move it. Right? Because the world we live in teaches us that if it's going to happen, it has to happen what? Fast. And the Bible teaches us the total opposite. He says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And I do everything according to my own time. Are you kidding me, God? I do everything according to my own time. So, 1,000 years? Are you kidding me? You know, are you saying that I'm going to have to really wait for this blessing, wait for this miracle, wait for these prayers to be answered? Come on, hurry up, God. It's been long enough. And don't let us have to pray for it for 30 days or a year. Then doubt creeps in. God, you ain't never going to do this. I mean, then somebody else gets blessed who's only been praying about it for like 60 days. Been like, okay. You know, but that's not what we want to do. That's not the position or the attitude that we want to build up our faith. That's not what we want to do. We want to be relaxed in God. And we have to believe that if we relax in him, then all things are working together what, for our good. So we have to relax in him, knowing that he has everything fully under control. And he promised us that if he brings us to a particular situation, a tough spot or a dark place, he has already equipped us with enough of faith in him to hold on to that. So it becomes a challenge for Christians in the 21st century to wait on God and to believe that at the end of whatever we're waiting God for God to do will happen. Because the world doesn't teach us that. And not to mention that the enemy gets in your left ear and starts whispering, see? He don't love you. See, the Lord is just putting you through. Then we go get all burdened. Oh, Lord, why are you putting me through? I paid my tithes. I went to service. I praised you. None of that matters. What matters is how firmly we are attached. How hard do we press in to having confidence in God? So we take a particular posture. We take a particular place, we hold firmly to it, and we firmly fix and attach ourselves to what the Word of God says. Whatever promises He's given you, whatever prophecies have come to you, we stay there. We stay right there. One of my favorite phrases that I taught my children, I have two adult children. I have seven grandsons, and I have a granddaughter on the way. She'll be here in November. So I have a granddaughter first part of December. So I have seven grandsons, and our first granddaughter will be here the last week in November. That's what I said, yay, the first week in December. So, but what I taught my children, my son is 42, and my daughter is 35. But what I taught them growing up, so you see I'm not a young chick. What I taught them growing up was all things in God's time. And if you don't remember anything else I say with this presentation, please remember your prayers will be answered because all things in God's time. All things in God's time. So we firmly attach ourselves to that. We firmly hold on to that. And we use that to secure our faith. Because something has to help you to keep believing. Something has to help you to keep believing that God's going to do it, that God's going to answer, that God's going to fix it. Because sometimes the more you pray, the worse it gets. Come on, tell the truth, you know. Follow me. The more you pray, sometimes the worse it gets. The more you believe God, it keeps falling to pieces. The more you call their names out before God, they keep doing things that grow from bad to worse. But you have to firmly attach yourself, firmly hold on to that. That it will happen because it is secure in what you believe. And we know the other thing that makes God move is when we believe Him. Not only does He get excited about our praise and worship, He gets excited about our faith. The pastor was exactly right when he was talking. God can be moved by faith. And we can prove it through many Bible characters and many illustrations in the Bible. When they just believe God. Job said, though He slay me. I mean, the guy lost everything in a 24-hour period. He went from wealthy to po-po. And then the death of his family, his kids. And then his wife comes in with a lawyer all at once with the divorce decree. Sign it. Can you imagine that? And after all that, he still says, though He slay me. Fella, what kind of faith did you have? What are you holding on to? Because that was the question his wife posed to him. Where's your integrity? And where is your God? Because if you've served Him like this, and this is what your God does to you, I'm going to divorce you and him too. That's the essence of it in contemporary language. She was not just divorcing herself from Job. She was also divorcing herself from Job's God. And through all that, Job says, though He slay me, yet, that was a prayer, yet will I trust Him. Prayers take on many different forms, many different patterns. We just don't have to pray, oh Lord our God, how great. That's a prayer. We can say the Lord's Prayer. And then we can just say a statement to God. It doesn't have to be a request. It doesn't have to be a petition. It can just be a statement. A prayer can be a statement. Lord, I believe. That's a statement. Lord, I trust You. That's a statement. Lord, I still have confidence in what You can do. That's a statement. And you're talking about moving the heart of God? You start giving God those kind of compliments, He goes, yay! What can I do for him? What can I do for her? You can't keep calling me all those good names and saying all those good things about me, and I don't perform. Oh, you're setting yourself up for a performance. So we hold fast. We fix and attach ourselves, and we secure ourselves in who God is. Because if you only secure yourself in what God does, when God doesn't do anything, then you have lost your attachment to Him. So we don't only pray and stay in faith and believe God for what He can do. We also stay in faith and believe God because He's God. Because He's God. That's what the Hebrew boys did. They said, okay, King, we got it. We got the rules. You don't have to repeat them. We know we're supposed to bow. We got it. But let me tell you this. The other thing we're firmly attached to is our God, Jehovah. We are so attached to Him till we're going to tell you something. If He don't get us out of this jam with this fire and this oven, we're still not going to bow. You see? So God, if you don't answer, if I still got to deal with it, guess what? I'm still going to trust you. I'm still going to believe you. I'm still going to praise you. I'm still going to call you good. I'm sold out to you. Whether you move or whether you don't move, whether you do it or whether you don't do it, guess what, God? I'm for you and you can be for me. You see? Those kind of prayer, the devil can't do anything with that kind of faith and that kind of prayer life. He can't do anything with it. You completely frustrate him. Because he's looking at human nature, and human nature says, because of the culture we live in, if that doesn't happen quick, fast, in a hurry, I can wear them down. I can break them down. So when you become so firmly fixed and attached that whether God does it or not, you're still going to give him the glory. You're still going to give him the praise. You're still going to be called one of his disciples. The devil's completely, he says, that's what he said for Jesus. You didn't turn the stones to bread. You didn't fall down and worship me. You didn't jump off the temple. I gotta go. Isn't that what the Bible say? And he left him what? For said, come on. You can really make the devil leave you alone. You can make him quit it. So that's how we do it. With that kind of prayer life, with that kind of faith. Okay, so we stand because we are firmly fixed. We have a position. We have a posture. We take on to an issue, and we use the word of God as an argument. We're fast. When we fast, we're firmly attached to what we believe, and we're so attached and connected to it that it becomes our security. Okay? Now let's look at ground, because mine was stand, fast, keep your ground. So let's see if we can define ground and tie it into our fast and our stand. Okay, here's ground. Ground is to, and this is the one definition I like. Ground is to engage in a competition or campaign in order to win or achieve something. So when we look at ground, we are going to be engaged in a competition or a campaign in order to win or achieve. So now we're standing. We're standing fast. And now we're going to be in a competition. Now we're going to be in a campaign. And the whole idea of the competition or the campaign that we're in is that we win. I'm not going to waste my time praying and screaming and hollering, sweating out my hair, laying before God, having my knees all rusty, have oil dripping all over me, and lose. Oh, no, ma'am, no, sir, that's not going to happen. I'm going to win one way or the other. And that's how we engage in prayer. That's how Jesus engaged in prayer. Jesus didn't do a whole lot of long prayers. Jesus prayed. So sometimes those quick prayers, they can be just as meaningful as when we set aside time to pray. So I have what I call fast prayers. I don't have a time to sing How Great Thou Art from everlasting to everlasting, you God. I don't have time to do all that. Lord, I need to see your hand of movement now. Now, Darren did a whole lot of long praying before he got in the lion's den. You can't wait till the situation that you're in is life-threatening. You got to have some stuff built up before so that when you get in the life-threatening situation, it's a matter of, Lord, shut their mouths, take away their appetite. Hallelujah, I got to sleep. That's exactly what happened. Because he prayed every day, all three times a day, opened up the shutters. Come on, Bible students, turn toward Jerusalem, and he prayed. When he got in the lion's den, you can't have time to say, how many lions in here? One, two, three. Okay, which one is the real hungry one? No, you ain't time for that. You know, who's the mother? Who's the father? Where the kids? You ain't time for that. We're a little lioness. Well, no, no. You're in the middle of a fight for your life. You don't have time to be all this stuff. Lord, I need you. Do it. This got to be fixed now or somebody up in here going to get hurt. We have many different cultures in our church. We have what we call an international ministry in our church because we have so many diverse cultures. I see some we have Africans all over. We have Asians, Haitians. We have a lot. And so what I really enjoy about the Africans, and I've learned this from your culture, is y'all pray hard. I mean, y'all pray hard. I've been in prophetic meetings with different African prophets. I love the African prophets. Them guys don't miss. I say, yes, talk to me. They don't miss, okay? But you all pray hard, fast, and long. You know, I can pray fast and hard and long, but sometimes I get Americanized. And you know, I'm going to be honest. We just meeting each other for the first time. We may not never see each other again, so I can be honest. I ain't got nothing to lose, okay? Yeah. When the Lord saved me, he saved me from fighting. I was a middle child. I have middle child syndrome. My brother got everything because he was the oldest and the only boy. My sister was the baby, and she had asthma that she conveniently had asthma attacks whenever it was convenient. Okay? So I was in the middle. So everything I got, sis, I had to fight for it. That song, Fight For It, is my song. That man wrote my song. So I don't have a lot of patience for a whole lot of conversation. Let's just hit it. Let's see who gonna win. Take off the earrings, take off your shoes. Let's go. And so when he saved me and I loved him, but he had to work on that little fight, you know? So I can't take a whole lot of talking and let's negotiate. No, let's hit it. Let's see who's going to be standing when it's over. You know? But you know what? That's just how I approach the devil. Let's hit it. Let's see whose God is God. Let me see if you can take me out. Let me see if you can change my mind. Let me see if you make me take it back. Let's see who's going to win this thing. And that's how you have to pray. That's what you have to keep in the back of your mind. That's your ground that you're standing on. That's your security. God never loses a battle. His record is 100 to 100. And it doesn't matter what the battle is, whether it's sickness, whether it's money, whether it's salvation, whether it's your marriage, it doesn't matter. He doesn't lose. So when we fight the devil, we fight to win a battle that we've already won. You see? So when we enter into prayer, when we enter into conversation, when we enter into communicating with God, our competition is the devil because he wants to shatter what we believe. And that's what he can't do. Because why? We're going to fight. And we're going to fight in the spirit. And we're going to believe. We got a particular posture. We got a particular place. We got an attitude. We're arguing with the word of God. And we tell them, you're not going to win. You are not going to win. You're not going to beat me. If I have to cry all night, if I have to pray 40 days and 40 nights, I'm going to be just like Daniel. I'm going to keep praying. And when the tests come, I'm going to go right in that lion's den. And we're going to see whose God is God. Because if you say no weapon formed against me, come on, we're the Bible students. No weapon what? Formed against me what? Well, then I'm in here. There's a weapon. How am I going to get out? What did he do? He didn't take the lions out. He took the appetite away. So sometimes prayer doesn't take you out of the situation. God keeps you while you're in it. He didn't take Daniel out the lion's den. He kept him alive with the lions there. There's the no weapon that's formed. It can form, but it's not going to prosper. You're not going to take me out. I remember one time I told the devil, give it your best shot, because you know what? You can't kill me. Because he told the devil, you can touch everything that Job has. You can't touch his life. So you can live through anything you got to live through because the devil can't kill you. You hear me? He can't kill you. He doesn't have the power to kill you. If he had the power to kill, none of us would be in here right now. He'd have us all in some cemetery, you know, because we pose a threat to him. So you have to believe that God has you here for a purpose. God has you here for a reason. And no matter what you're praying, what you're fighting for, what you're contending with, you're going to win. There's no competition greater than for God. There's no power greater than God's power. So how could we possibly lose? So when we stand, when we hold fast, and we keep our ground, we are in a competition. We are in a campaign. But guess what? We win. We win. We always win. In life or in death, we win. Because Paul said, it's good, it's okay. He said, because I'm alive, but for me to die would be to my benefit. Because then I'll be with the Lord. And I don't have to fool around with you guys. He said, therefore, the life I live in the flesh, what? I live it to the glory. So either way, we win. So we have to know that whether God answers immediately or whether God takes his time or whether he keeps us in it, our security is in our belief and faith in him. Okay, my time is swiftly moving. Here goes the last one. So my topic was, I'm a teacher by trade, so I stay with topics. My topic was, stand fast, keep your ground, and contend earnestly for the faith. And that brings that scripture of Jude. How do we contend earnestly? How do we keep on praying about a situation or holding on to what God's word has said to us without losing faith? And come on, it's the reality of it. Sometimes we do, our faith does get weak. You know, you may not never say it out loud, you know, because out loud you're just strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But underneath, when you go home, have to deal with that same situation. You can scratch your head and say, how much longer, God? How much harder can this be, God? Why did this have to happen like this? So how do we contend? How do we earnestly stay there? Okay, so here's your definition for contend, okay? I gave you the contend when you earnestly campaign in order to win or achieve. Here's your earnest. Earnest or earnestly. Earnest is resulting from or showing sincere, here it is, and intense conviction. So if you contend earnestly, after standing your ground, knowing you're going to win in the competition or the campaign, you are sincere and you are intense in your conviction. You are sincere and intense in your conviction. And that's what makes us prayer warriors. Amen. That's why this place is not overflowing. Because people are not convicted. They're not intense. Oh, they're sincere in their love of God. But are they so convicted that they will take time off their job? We take time off for family vacations. Come on. You don't have to be mad because you hear it's the ones that are not here that should be mad. But when we call prayer situations and campaigns like this, this place should be overflowing. Where are the sincere, intense, convicted believers that believe if my people, I thought you might know that one too, who are called, come on, repent, turn from my wicked ways, seek his face, then we will what? Hear from him. Where are they? This is not important enough to you in your walk with God that you can take a day off work. This is not important enough. You're not so convicted. You're not so intense and so sincere with your prayer life and your walk with God that even if you have to take a vacation day or take it off without pay or work extra hours next week to make up for the day that you've taken for. Where are the sincere, convicted people? Why are we not convicted when we don't come to prayer meetings? We go to musicals. We go to revivals. Why can't we come to prayer? Why have we lost our conviction that it's the prayers of the righteous? That if God finds one in the city, come on, he'll spare the whole city. Where are the convictions? Why can't we stand in the gap? Why do we have to be coached and coaxed into praying? Why we gotta promise you dinner, lunch, water, juice? Why can't we just say we're having 3 hours of prayer? We're having a day that we're setting aside for the saints from everywhere to come together and pray. Why can't we just come to pray? It was when Peter and John were on their way up to the temple that the lame man that sat at the gate got healed. They were going to pray. They weren't going to have a dinner or lunch. They were going to the temple to pray. Why are we not convicted? Why are we not so sincere and intense with our prayer life that we will do everything to make a gathering like this possible? Why didn't we constrain our neighbors, our friends, our churchgoers? Why didn't we constrain them to come? Why are we not convicted? But if you're going to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, you got to be intense. You got to be sincere in your conviction. You got to tell yourself, if I don't pray, it will never get better. If I don't bring it up before God, she'll never get healed. If I don't call it out, one by one, name by name, the Father won't answer. Who do you think is the salt of the earth? Who do you think is the preserving power on the earth? It's not the government. It's not the White House. It's the people who are called by my name, who humble themselves. That is why this world is not destroyed. But guess what? I was somewhere. Jesus, I didn't travel so much. Somewhere, I was in some state. And somebody asked me, oh, I know, I was doing an interview on the radio. And somebody asked me, Pastor, do you think the world is taking over in the church? I said, no. I think the world is pushing the church to pray. Because we were too comfortable and we were too satisfied just coming in church, getting fat and glutton. We just get happy over the service. But when they started cutting those people's head out in the Middle East, come on, when over there in Oregon, that gunman asked those people, who do you believe in? And when they said they were Christians, he said to them, meet your God, and shot them in the head. That was in the United States. Okay? Oh, no, the world is pushing us. We're going to get it together in a little while. Because if we don't stop praying, the Bible says there will be none saved us on the earth, not even the elect. No, the world is not winning. They're pushing us to prayer. All these ungodly rules and laws that they're passing in Congress. And since we don't have no godly people on the Supreme Court, we got to what? Pray. We got to pray. Ain't none of them people up there confessing to be Christians. None of them judges say they love God. Then we need God to intervene. And how are we going to get God to intervene? We're going to have to what? Pray. We're going to have to pray. And stop fussing over stuff that don't make no difference. I don't care what church you belong to. Do you know Jesus? Do you love God? Well, come on over here. Let's get it together. We're our own worst enemies because we have not taken the tool that God has given us to change the face of this earth. But when the devil get through whipping us this time, wait till next year when you call this. I guarantee you're going to have double the number. Because we're going to finally realize that the only thing that's going to help us, the only thing that's going to save us, is when we call upon the name of the Lord. When we are sincere and intense and believing that God can save a nation. That a nation whose God is Jehovah, whose God is the Lord, that nation will be saved. Nation will be saved. One last story. Early this year, I did an intense study on the book of Revelation. I did a 14-week study on the book of Revelation. It was intense. And I dealt with everything that Revelation deals with from the beginning of the book that said this is a vision, this is a prophetic word that came to John on the Isle of Patmos. You all know this. Okay. What we did after every fourth or fifth session, we brought in something contemporary. So we went through the internet, we Googled, we found something prophetic that tied into that particular situation in the book of Revelation. So on one of the sessions, I was looking for something intense to show the class that we're living in the last days. But if God is for us, then really no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. The Lord will protect his sheep. He is a shepherd that will protect his sheep. And if you know anything about the shepherds, their job was what? To care for and what? Provide and protect what? The sheep. The Lord is our shepherd. He will protect his sheep. Make no mistake about it. Well, there is an article, and I can get it for you if you want to know where it is. There's an article where the jihad, you know, that's the other part of ISIS. Israel has a code. The nation of Israel has a code where they can detect any missile, any bomb, when it gets to a halfway point of hitting their country. They can detect it. They can destroy it. The jihad broke the code. This happened this year, the beginning of this year, yeah, because I taught this year, happened, broke the code. They sent word, this is an article, this ain't no make-believe. This is an article. We found it. They sent word to Israel, and they said to them, we have broken the code, and we've already launched the missile. It will hit in one of two places. It will either hit in the Palestinian side, that's for Israel, or it'll hit in Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is their capital. They called all the people together, all the high officials together. They brought in fire trucks, paramedics, because the jihad showed them the code. So they knew they were telling the truth. They had broken the code and the missile was launched. This is true. This is why we got to pray. The missile was half to the halfway point where they usually could detect it. And all of a sudden, listen to me, true, I'll give you the article. A strong wind came from nowhere, threw the missile off course, and it landed in the water. It never touched Tel Aviv. It never touched Palestine. Why? Because the Lord will protect his people. And those people pray to Jehovah. They pray to God. There is no weapon formed that God cannot protect you from. When the reporter interviewed the group that had launched the missile, he said to them, why do you think the missile did not hit Israel? The jihad said, all we know is that Israel serves a God who can protect them. Now do you understand why we have to pray? So that powers, principalities, demons, wickedness in rulers in high places can be destroyed. Prayer is our key. So we stand fast. I'm finished. We stand fast. We hold our ground. We contend earnestly. Jude said, for the faith that was once delivered. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he can protect Daniel, if he can protect the Hebrew boys, if he can give David a rock and a piece of cloth and kill a giant, then surely, if he can find a lunch in the middle of 5,000 men without counting the women and children, bless it and break it, and feed everybody in the convention. If he can do that, if he can put Paul on a ship and let a tsunami come in the middle of the water and not one person on the ship die, surely, he can answer prayer. I'm finished. Now, this is why I was a few minutes late coming down. I have a prayer chain every Monday morning. People call in from everywhere, in the States and out of the States. Literally, there are hundreds on the line. Every Monday morning, it's a free call, toll-free call, from 5 a.m. to 5:30 a.m. We've been doing it now for about 8-9 years. So because of that, we host 3 to 4 segments a year here at our church for just corporate prayer. We have at least 1,000 people, or sometimes a little more, coming for corporate prayer because our people love, we've taught them the love to pray. So we have particular subjects that are, okay. So people have asked me down through the years, Co-Pastor, have you ever considered doing a prayer CD? No, you know, prayer for me is my conversation, my talking to God, God talking to me. I never thought about compiling anything that would be in that type of a format. Our minister music here was fussing at me. Co-pastor, you need to do this. You need to do it. So, you know, after some time, you know, people just worry you. Like the Bible says, the widow just weigh her down. She just wore the judge down. Just kept on coming every day. And that just kept on coming. He said, is that widow? Okay, what can I do for that woman? Driving me crazy. So 2 weeks ago, just 2 weeks ago, I released it 2 weeks ago, about a month ago. I went into the studio. And I compiled my first volume, Volume 1, Prayer CD. It's four parts to the prayer CD. It starts off, it's called the Volume of Faith. Because what we need now is faith. We need to believe, to have complete confidence in God. He is our source, He's our strength. And so the first prayer is a prayer of faith. Lord, help our faith. Give us confidence to believe you, confidence to trust you, confidence to know that there is no power greater than you. Da, 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 da. And we transition from prayers of faith to prayers of talents, gifts, and abilities. Because, Lord, you've given us talents, gifts, and ability. And we have to be able to use them and share them, not only in our fellowships, but out to others so that they will know there is a way out, there's confidence. People today are on the edge. Use our gifts, our talents, our abilities, our skills for the glory of your kingdom, for the upbuilding of the kingdom of God. So we go in from prayers of faith to prayers of gifts and talents and abilities. We move from gifts, talents, and ability, and I go into prayers to loose and to bind. Because we drive it hard during that segment. Because God has given us keys to loose and to bind. If we loose it on earth, he'll loose it in heaven. If we bind it on earth, he'll bind it in heaven. Lord, give us enough faith to use the keys that you've given us to change the mindset of this generation. That's the third segment. The fourth and last segment, we go into a new season of faith. Lord, bring us to a new season of faith. Enlarge our territory. Increase our ability to hold steadfast, to be unmovable, unshakable in what we believe. I just released it 2 weeks ago. It's already on 18 of the major markets. Already in 2 weeks. I was like, duh. So what I did was I bought a copy for everyone who's present today. And I think Sister Karen has brought enough down, but if we don't have enough, then I'll go get some more. But I trust you will enjoy it. I've been told by people who have already bought, they used to just buy one. Now they're buying two, three, they're giving them for gifts. They're using it for meditation. I've had some people tell me they go to bed with it on at night. I just trust, I did it just because people asked me. I never knew it would do what the Lord is allowing it to do. So I trust that you receive it today, that it will increase your faith, enlarge your prayer life, and cause you to believe God in a way that you've not believed him before. Thank you so much for my invitation to come.